When I announced that we were going to spend most of this week on the parables in Matthew 13, perhaps I should have said we'd spend most of the week on the parable of the tares and the wheat, for we certainly could do that without too much trouble. I do want to impress upon my listeners that these parables are stories that reveal the truth of the kingdom of heaven to some people and conceal it from others. We cannot open eyes that are closed. All we can do is preach the word. Before we leave the parable of the tares and the wheat, though, I do want to point out that as you read through both the Old Testament scriptures and the New scriptures, you will see that they all tell the same story, that the age was to end in violence, burning, and destruction, and the destruction would be of the wicked. God is going to cleanse the earth, according to Isaiah, and make it like the Garden of Eden. Well, we're not going to have the wicked Antichrist people in the kingdom. They're going to be taken out of it. But you cannot understand even that unless you do understand that that kingdom of heaven is here on the earth, and it is occupied by both the children of the kingdom and the children of the wicked one. Now, I should point you to several other scriptures which you very seldom read and may help you understand. Now, when Pastor Emery says certain people are the children of Israel and others are not, though they claim to be, you may be able to recognize who they are. In John 8, we find Jesus Christ speaking to the Jewish scribes and Pharisees. He denies that they are Abraham's children, and he says of them further in verse 43 and 44, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Christ says, the reason you Jewish Pharisees do not understand what I am saying is ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus himself said and identified people whom he called the children of their father, the devil. We see in this parable that Christ describes the tares as the children of the wicked one, that the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and apparently they are so intertwined with the true children of the kingdom that the children of the devil are not to be removed from the kingdom until the time of harvest. The wheat has to be ripe so that its head hangs down and the tares stick up. I imagine some of you people are beginning to recognize that the people called Jews are coming to the forefront in leadership all over the world and in the United States of America. Yes, their heads, the heads of the tares, are sticking up and soon will be recognized. We also see that this doctrine that there will be a burning destruction is told by all of the writers of the New Testament as well as of the Old. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in the first chapter, in verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Now here's what Christ's angels are going to do when they are revealed: in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would have to be the children of the devil or the children of the wicked one, the Antichrist. Verse 9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Yes, right here on earth, the removal of the children of the wicked one will take place. We find an identification in 1 Peter that I perhaps should tell you about and hope that you read it and compare it to what we read in Hosea. Remember, we read that Hosea told the children of Israel that they were cast off, they would no longer be God's people, and he would not be their God. And then in chapter 2, he prophesied that he would bring them back to him and make them his people, and he would be their God. Well, Peter writes, to the children of Israel and tells them in chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood," and he is telling this to these Christian believers, and these are the words used in Deuteronomy 10, Isaiah 41, Psalm 135, and Exodus 19 to describe Israel. "An holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now who is it, for the 1900 years since Peter wrote this, have shown the praises of God to the ends of the earth? Is it the Jewish people? Nonsense. It is the people of Christendom, the Caucasian race, if you please. Verse 10, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So Peter is identifying the Christian believers of his day as the same Israelites that were cast off and prophesied to by Hosea in the Assyrian captivity. You might want to read the 9th chapter of Romans, for Paul uses this same terminology in speaking to the Christians at Rome, and no one hardly dare claim they were Jews. In fact, in the book The Drama of the Lost Disciples, in the book Tracing Our Ancestors, and in my book on Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, I show those people as being British. Yes, Claudia was a British princess. And yet Paul wrote to her and said she was of those people who had not been a people, but were now a people of God. Who were they? Well, they were cast off Israel, brought back by Christ, brought back to God Almighty, and made into the people that would show forth his praise. Our name was changed from Israel to Christian. For 1900 years, the lost, scattered house of Israel have been called the Christian nations of the world, and yet today many of them follow ministers who tell them, "No, you're just a bunch of Gentiles, and anyway, you're going to leave the earth as soon as things get bad enough." No, my friends, the Israel people will be here right on through this time of trouble, right up until the great kingdom age, when Jesus Christ comes with his angels in fire. In chapter 17 and 18, you should read all of these because these are the description of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and in rather plain language, John describes a vision of a worldwide rulership. In verse 18, he says, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." This would be a world government ruling all the nations of the earth, and this government is destroyed, according to John in verse 8 of Revelation 18, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Not one verse of the Bible teaches that the Christian people will be removed from the earth when God destroys Babylon, the Antichrist, and the children of the devil by fire. No, we will be here, and that's why he told us in the last chapter of the Old Testament through the prophet Malachi, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." And in verse 3, he tells these people who are God's special treasure, who are saved by God in this day of trouble, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Many of you, dear Christian people, could be used of God in a greater way for the destruction of the enemy and the wicked if you would get away from the false, deceptive teaching that you're not going to be here when Babylon is destroyed. No, my friend, you are going to be here, and God will use you if you will open your eyes to his kingdom truth. You are living in that kingdom. You are here with the children of the devil, with the tares, who are doing their best to destroy Christendom and everything that is Christian, exactly as Christ told us in the parable of the tares and the wheat. They would both be in the kingdom, and they would be so intertwined that Christ would have to send angels to say unto the reapers, "Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." The tares are gathered first. If there is nothing more that you can grasp from the parable of the tares and the wheat than that one truth, it will release you from the bondage of the devil doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church that has bound many people in ignorance and blindness. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we are going to go on in the other parables, and we will see that these other parables fit exactly what we have already seen in the parable of the tares, and of course, they must fit what the disciples wrote in the Gospels and in the letters, because in verse 51, after teaching these, Jesus saith unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." These men understood that there was to be a place called Zion, the New Jerusalem, if you please, to which would come the kingdom of heaven, and in that nation, in that place, the tares and the wheat, the children of the devil and the children of the kingdom, or the children of God, would live together until the very end of the age, and that age would end in fire and destruction of the wicked. Not a removal of the righteous, but a destruction of the wicked. In the few seconds remaining, I remind you, if you will write and ask me for this 200-year-old sermon, you will find that this man, in closing, that admonition to the governor and the members of the House of Representatives in Massachusetts 200 years ago, that they were to follow God's law in ruling the people, that he called the people who were here in this colony on this continent the branch of God's planting. If you want to know where that is, look up Isaiah 60. It is Israel, planted in Zion, and they're called by Isaiah the branch of God's planting. Exactly what this minister called these Anglo-Saxon people in America 200 years ago. This is Pastor Emery. Be with me tomorrow when I return, Lord willing. Until then, goodbye, God bless you, read your Bible, and pray for Christian Israel in America.